If you have not yet started thinking about the heavens and the earth and how everything got here, I'd like to encourage you to do so soon. Just to contemplate, how did all this get here? And why is it here? What is this all about? I mean, consider the earth, for example. Why did earth get all the good stuff? Have you thought about that before? I mean, compare her with the rest of the planets in our solar system. They're all such bare and severe places. They talk about, I remember they used to talk about finding life on Venus, but wow, once we learned the environment of Venus and just how little there is, or really nothing there is there to allow the creation of life or to sustain life, and then, well, what about Mars? And now we're all excited that maybe there might be some water on Mars, hidden under the surface at least someplace. And then you compare that to Earth. Earth is just so different. This past week, I stood in line at a pharmacy in a large store here in town. And I like to go there early in the morning before everyone else gets there, so I didn't see a lot of people, but I saw a lot of products. And as I stood in line, I just started looking around. I looked off to the right, and there were some products for sale for an upcoming holiday, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25. I just kept looking all around and just saw all over this store just products everywhere. And I thought to myself, where did the material, the raw materials come from to make all this stuff? To make anything we want. And then I thought to myself, well, you know, probably within a week's time, maybe a month's time, I don't really know, all of this stuff will be gone because people will have bought it, pulled it off the shelf, and something else will be put there. So everything I'm looking at will have been replaced soon. And then I thought further, how many times does this take place all over the earth every day? Millions of times. It's fascinating to think about how the earth is just filled with, although humanity has been here for a long time, has been using resources for a long time, yet the earth is still filled with a superabundance of the stuff we need. And it probably has stuff sitting there still that we don't know about, that we don't know what to do with it yet. How did that all happen? Why did Earth get all the good stuff? What I'm talking about is cause and effect. Everything is either a cause or an effect, or really everything, I suppose you might say, is both, or many things are both. Many things that are causes are also the effect of some other cause. And that cause is the effect of some other cause. And so forth. I mean, just consider the rain. The rain falls down here. That's an effect. The sun and other factors caused water to evaporate out of the oceans, and then the wind brought it over Josephine County, and it dropped. That's an effect, but it becomes a cause because then the earth soaks up the water and causes plants to grow. There's an effect. And you can just go on and on with that sort of thing. If that's hard to understand, the best way for me to illustrate it would be with Newton's cradle. You know what Newton's cradle is? They were really popular a long time ago. And someone gave me one time, and I put it on my desk. And you know, just as a little apparatus, it one side was just like that, and the other side was just like that, and then hanging in the middle were five steel balls. look like they're hanging from fishing line or something. You take one ball and you drop it. And it hit these balls. It would transfer the energy and then this ball would go up. And then it'd come down and then this ball would go up. You could take two of those balls and drop them. And it would transfer the energy and two of these balls would go up. And you could do it with three. It was fascinating. But the cause, then the effect. But now this effect became a cause and created what was earlier a cause, made it an effect. But how did that all get started? Well, my hand was a cause. I took the ball and pulled it up and dropped it. So now it's an effect at the same time that it's a cause. But what made my hand decide to take one of those things? Well, my mind that inhabits my brain, the brain and the mind are not the same thing, by the way, but my mind inhabits the brain and said, you know, do this with your hand because you want to do this thing and watch it, I guess, when you're bored or something. There's things like that all the time. Well, what we're looking at here when we're talking about the heavens and the earth or the universe is a great effect. How did the universe get here? How did this happen? Well, there are several possible explanations for that. Different things that people have said, well, here is how it all came about. Some say, well, it's just really the figment of someone's imagination. We're really all just involved in someone's imagination. And I'm not really sure how to deal with that other than to say, well, I think your argument is the figment of your imagination or something. But that's not very kind, really, to say that. But that's how some people really look at it. But not a lot of people really take that very seriously. So others say, well, the universe just simply created itself. In the very distant past, they will argue, the universe either did not exist at all, or all of it. And I mean everything that you see here in this auditorium today, the whole earth and everything you see out in the sky, all of it was condensed down to a point about the size of a period that's at the end of a sentence in your Bibles that's or sitting on your lap right now. All those condensed down to that. And for some reason, it expanded, which they call the Big Bang, or a lot of them like to just refer to it as inflation. It just inflated and hence caused itself, created itself. You know, when I was a little boy living in Monrovia, California, so I guess I would have been in second grade or earlier, we had a neighbor who convinced me that there was this bucket that was behind his garage that just had yuck in it. I don't know what else to describe it. It was just gross looking. And he convinced me that from that bucket in the stuff that was in it, he created everything. And I said, well, how were you created? How did you get here? Well, I created myself, he said. How did you do that? I can still remember asking this. He says he reached his arm out of the bucket and he stirred it until he came out. And here he is. Now, in my way of thinking, that is as plausible as saying that at one time nothing existed or that everything in the universe was super condensed into the size of a little period and then for some reason it just decided to expand into what we see today, all the beauty and the design and all that that we witness today. On the other hand, some will say that really it's eternal. Because scientists used to say, okay, the universe had a beginning and then it had an end. But the more they have been thinking about that, I think they've realized, well, if we say that it had a beginning, we're going to have to argue that something caused this. And they don't like leaving the door open for a creator. So now what they're arguing is that really there's a couple of possibilities. That we have what they scientifically call the Big Bang, And we're still in the process of that. We're still, the universe is still expanding rapidly. But at some point, it's going to stop. And then they've come up with a new scientific term that's called the Big Crunch. It's going to come right back down together again. And then it'll inflate again and start all over. And it's just been doing this forever. Or they will say that actually, once the universe has expanded as it is now, that other universes just keep it percolating out of it and creating others. But somehow that just still doesn't answer the question, what caused all these things to happen? So really the last alternative is the one that in my mind is the most plausible, is the one that makes the most sense, and that is that it was created. That the universe had or has a cause that is equal to or greater than the universe. Okay, so here you have the universe. You've got to have something that's either equal in, let's just say, at least grandeur or even greater than it that caused it to come into being. And for us, when we either look into the heavens or read a passage such as Psalm 19, we believe we have found the answer. For there it is written, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Oh yes, that makes sense. Day to day utters speech. We can go outside, and are we not affected by what's going on up in the sky? The sun that is shining, the clouds that come by, the blue sky, or even when it's gray, this, all the things that happen up there, it's like it's saying something to us. Night unto night reveals knowledge. I go out there and I see all those stars. And it seems to say we're not alone. It seems to say there was a creator and He is not silent. He is uttering something to us. The heavens, David said in Psalm 19:1, declare the glory of God. It does not say necessarily that the heavens declare God, but they declare His glory. We're all fascinated by just the glory of the heavens itself, and we realize something wonderful or someone wonderful caused this great glory to come about. And so we say, yes, the heavens, they glorify God. Now, they alone, the heavens alone don't necessarily say that God exists, but the heavens sure tell us that something wonderful happened a long time ago. And we hope that whatever caused this to be still is, that it's still around. The firmament shows God's handiwork, David said. Again, it doesn't say that it declares God, but the firmament shows handiwork. I look at it and I think, wow, this is some beautiful design. This is something that is intricate. This is something that works wonderfully together. This is wonderful artwork, as I spoke to you about last week. But whose handiwork is it? Well, the Scripture says it is God's. They show tremendous design. So again, they alone do not tell us who God is, but the firmament sure tells us that something or someone knew what He was doing. You just don't get the universe and the life that we see by accident. Things just don't happen that way. What I am presenting to you is known as the cosmological argument. It's the argument of cause and effect, but on a cosmological level. We're talking about the cosmos. It's a grand effect. What is the grand cause that came, that caused it to be? But there are some restrictions in what it says. By itself alone, it just does not prove God's existence. It only argues that something or someone equal to or greater than the universe caused it. But it does create, I believe, a frame of mind in us and in the people that we love and talk to that there is this idea of a creator. We can all understand how there's a cause and effect in things. Why should it stop when we come to the universe? What is it that caused the universe to be? And this thing that caused it to be itself has to be something that is uncaused. In other words, God's not an effect. At some point, we have to say, there is something or someone that itself has never been caused. It or he has just always been. And we believe that for us, the Bible reveals that that thing or someone is God. And of course, we don't look at him as a thing, but rather as a someone. I want you to consider Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And see if this makes sense to you. Now, maybe the first two verses, if you're not familiar with the Bible, don't quite make that much sense. But especially then when we get into verse 20, see if this makes sense, okay? Romans 1. Begin at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Well, first of all, we read that for some reason this God we're talking about, he's angry about something. What is he angry about? He is angry about the existence of unholiness. He made the universe perfect and he made it holy. But something happened to it and defiled it. And that bothers him deeply. And so he wants to do something about whatever it is that is causing this problem. And the verse right here reveals that it's ungodliness, it's unrighteousness. It's when people, part of his creation, when they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. But why is that so bad? Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. How did he do that? Verse 20. For, in other words, I'm going to explain, Paul says, what I just said. For since the creation of the world, from the very beginning, not millions or billions of years afterwards, but from the very beginning, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. I can see what is invisible. How could I possibly do that? If there is this creator and he's invisible, how then can I, in a sense, clearly see him? Here's how it happens. Being understood, so I have to do some thinking here, by the things that are made. All right, so I look at what has been made and I contemplate it with some of the questions I was asking at the very beginning. How did this all happen? Why did Earth get all the good stuff? Now here's what I can know and here's what I can see of the invisible attributes of God. Even His eternal power and Godhead. Your translation might say his deity or his divine nature, so that they are without excuse. Okay, so in other words, I can't know everything about God by just looking at the stars. I can't know everything about God or my Creator by looking at a tree. But there are at least two things I can know. That whoever it was that brought this all into being, number one, he was very powerful. His power has to be eternal. It just has to be limitless. Would you not agree to bring all the universe into existence? And secondly, he has to be supra-intelligent. He has to be godlike. How can you design human beings and how can you design them to interact with their environment without some kind of supra-intelligence there? So that's what I can observe. So I'm without excuse, really. If I just would take the time to observe the creation, Paul says, hey, you can know there's a God. And a couple things about him. Therefore, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So see, when I reject this clear revelation, then it just starts doing things to my thinking. And I start believing that something can come from nothing, that order can come from chaos, that life can come from non-life, and that one kind of life can turn itself into another kind of life. Now, if that was a little too much to handle, let me give you something that's shorter and surely will make sense. And I don't mean to be speaking down when I say that, but I know that Romans 1 passage, there was a lot there. But just consider this one in Hebrews 3. It's just one sentence. And at least the first half of the sentence, everyone will agree about. Okay, here's what it says. For every house is built by someone. That's the first part of the sentence. Is that not true? From the pulpit right here, I can look out through the doors and I see homes over there. I know someone built those things. They just don't pop into existence. Someone doesn't just take lumber and throw it up in the air and it all comes together like that. I know that someone built those homes. This building right here, I don't know who built it. And I really don't know a lot about them unless someone told me who they were. But I know that this auditorium didn't just happen. It had a builder. Okay? So now the second half of the sentence. But he who built all things is God. Even as a house needs a builder, so all things need a builder. I'd encourage you to think on that for the rest of the week. But again, observing a house, we know that someone made it. That much should be obvious to our thinking. But we can only know so much about the builder from the house that he's built. It's obvious that he had some skill. It's obvious that he had some intelligence, but was the builder some men or were they women? Were they men and women? Were they in their 50s or were they in their 20s? I don't know. Could they speak English or did they speak Spanish? See, there's a lot of things we just can't know from the building itself. Now, I can look at the style of the house and say, well, he appreciates, you know, the way things are laid out and so forth. But again, there's only so much that I can know. So I think we can conclude that he who created all things must have been very interested in our lives. I mean, look at what he's provided for us. As I was illustrating earlier when I was in the store on Friday. And has he provided anything else for us that we don't know about? I have no doubt that that's the case. We're finding new things on the earth all the time. Or finding new uses from the things that we already know about. It just seems to be endless. Well, but what about for the part of me that's the real me? It's like I'm inside this, body, and I'm looking out through the windows that we call eyes. I'm on the inside, and I'm directing everything that's going on. The best way that I can illustrate that I understand anyways, is, you know, I've mentioned to you before that I used to operate a backhoe. Okay, I'd sit on the back of that backhoe, and I'd sit in the roll cage, and I'm looking out, and I learned to operate that backhoe like it was a third hand. I didn't think, okay, now I'm going to move the boom and then the crowd and then the bucket, and now I want to extend the bucket out. I want to put the outriggers down, I'll put the outriggers up and all that kind of. I didn't think about that. I just move the sticks and my feet for swinging it and everything. Just did it. I want the bucket to go there. I knew how to make it go there, and just like it was my arm. And that's really like how our bodies are. So the real person's on the inside, and we're directing what the body does. Does this one who made everything, does he care enough not only about my body, but what's on the inside? Yes, he does. And the Bible reveals the story of Jesus the Christ, who first worked as a carpenter in the city of Nazareth, but then later took up a ministry of teaching and preaching and of doing good things for people. And he was given to us by God to teach us about life, to teach us about the inside part of us and what we're supposed to do with it. And that's the part that he's really concerned about. See, he doesn't want us just to live 80 at the most or even 90 plus years on this earth. He wants us to live forever in the place where he is. He's invisible to us right now because he's in another place. And he wants us to go join him there. Do you want to join him there? Do you want to join your Creator? You can. Just believe with all your heart that his Son, that Jesus is his Son. And be willing to turn your life over to him. And if you've come that far, please don't stop. He also told us that we need to wash away all that bad stuff that is hurting ourselves and hurting creation. And the way you can do that, even this morning, is to be baptized in water. That means to be immersed in water. And we can do that for you. If you have that need and you want to take care of it, you can come forward right now as we stand and sing.